Hey everybody, Anna Abramowitz here. Hope you're having a fabulous day. This is the e-learning scenario design podcast. This is where we talk about emotions, scenarios, stories, interactivity, and being an effective interactive storyteller, and being an effective business person, because the thing is, regardless of where you work, some people have found out very recently that regardless of where you work, you are at the mercy of somebody else's decisions. Or, and this can go both ways. Like, I've talked to people who are so busy right now with work for their work that they have no time, absolutely no time, to invest in their skills, no time to really have a good work-life balance. They're trying to work as fast as possible to get things digital as fast as possible. Whether that's, you know, a good strategy or not, whatever, there are moments where you have to buckle down and, you know, really meet some deadlines. That's fine. But when that's the default for the company, and, you know, now that you're not working or it's funny because now this is very dangerous and you have to be aware of this. If you're not commuting anymore, you might start work earlier and then you might start finish work later. Now that's crazy. So you're working a lot more and, as far as I'm concerned, not really getting compensated for it, right? So, and I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, and he was like, listen, you know, it's funny. I'm working for this organization. Now I am working more. And sometimes in the evening, if I don't finish a project, I'll just keep working on it instead of working on a project for me and for my work. And that's one of the things that you have to watch out for these days, right? And that's what we remote workers always have to watch out for. And it's funny to me because I don't know where this comes from. You know, that whole idea of like, if you're at work or if you're working from home, that's why, you know, I totally disagreed with Melissa Mayer when she said, you know, everybody should go back and work at the office, right? Regardless of whether you had childcare or not or whatever, because, you know, people needed to have butts in seats. And I'm like, you know, that's an indication of the quality of the work you're measuring and how you're measuring actual work. And if you're measuring actual work by physical bodies and seats, then I could bring a dummy and get paid and have him sit there inflated and I'd get paid because that's how you measure quality and output. And as far as I'm concerned, most of the people that I've talked to are trying their freaking darndest to not only be productive at work because they feel this, or at home, feel this pressure, but some of them have, you know, now they have toddlers. And as we know, toddlers are the most dangerous people, most aggressive people in the world because they're always testing boundaries. Look this up. This is actually a stat. The most violent humans are between 2 and 4 years old. And imagine trying to harness that in while you're trying to put together something meaningful online, right? Crazy. Now, this is the other thing that as a freelancer and then running my own little agency with Ryan for years, this is what I learned. And it's kind of, it bites you in the butt. So, if you're working with a client and you do a really good job for them, of course, what they'll want to do is work with you again. Now, here's what sometimes happens if you don't watch yourself. And guess what? This has happened to me. So I'm just telling you to watch out for this. And after all the conversations I've had over the past year with people who I'm basically interviewing to see if they're a good fit for my membership program and to join our interactive storytelling community, I've learned that many of them suffer from the same issues. Here's one of them. You are working with a client. They give you they're like, oh, we did such great work together. We like working with you. Can you do another project for us? Now, they'll do things like, well, you know, this is a repeat project. And one of the things that's happening is it's a big volume project. So we're wondering if you could give us a volume discount. And it's just like you and somebody else working on this. And I'm like, what do you mean volume discount? Right? I'm not Walmart here. I actually don't make anything up in volume. It's just me and this other person, right? So what do you end up doing? It's like they're applying some sort of like retail strategy to you, a development shop where it's like you and two people. And then you work with your people that you've trusted before. So you'll hire some good illustrator, a copywriter, translation person, you know, developer, of course. So what's this volume discount, right? But you fucking go for it. That's the problem. Because you need the cash. And you want to help other people, right? And you, like, one of the things is I'm always like, whenever I work with a really great illustrator, I'm always like waiting for another project that I could work with them on again, because I want to support them. I want to support their art. I want to support their craft. Same with great developers, same with great translation people. Like, I want them to have constant work and I want to bring it in. So that's one thing to watch out for. And I'd say no every freaking time. It's terrible, but one of the things also that I found that's kind of interesting is that when you sorry, I'm just watching this. It's so weird. It's this little birdies, and what they're doing is they're picking on a dandelion, and they're picking out all the little seeds on a dandelion. Ah, you scared them away, bud. They're little birds. It's so cute. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Even a dandelion, which we eradicate. Anyways, so the other thing that happens, super common, right? You, I was just talking to somebody else, and they did this. This is classic, right? Classic. You talk to a client, or you do a job for a client, and one of the things that happens is that you over-deliver on that job. Now, you negotiate it on price, you over-deliver on that job, and then the next job, they want it for a lower price, but they want the same quality. They want all the bells and whistles, just like you did. Right? They want as many illustrations. They want it in as little amount of time as possible. And you basically, it's like chicken and egg. You're like, okay, do I want to wow and deliver? But also I need to let them know that this is the kind of value I deliver. And it's not on discount anymore. Right? And that's crazy, but it happens. And you do this. You just want to over-deliver. But the thing that you have to be careful with is that you're dealing with big, most times stupid corporations. And one of the things that I stopped doing now is these requests for proposals. Do you know why? Why? There's two of us. I don't have time. Like, I've had organizations send me, like, I kid you not, a 64-page survey. And then they wanted examples of past work, references, excuse me, and then a team interview with a presentation. And then still they said we would go on price. Right? The lowest price will be our determining factor. And I was like, you know what? No. They sent me the stuff. They actually invited me I wasn't even looking for it. They invited me. This has happened several times. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. If I'm going to do this for you, you're going to pay me for it because I'm doing work for you. That's it. And it's funny because they expect you to do work for free to win projects. And there are organizations that actually have a dedicated person for these RFP developments. And I'm like, I can't handle that kind of stuff. It's just not feasible. I'd be working on proposals versus work, right? And then still they're going to go on the lowest price, which to me is just, well, then why are you just ask for a lowest price first? Why do I have to do a dog and pony show for you, right? So there's several ways to get around this. One is have people pay you for your, which I call it, you could call it something fancy, but it's an assessment package, really. It's figuring out what they need and what you can offer. So charge them for that. And then apply the rest towards their price. You can do that. The other thing you can do is productize what you're offering so that it is not so burdensome and you're not coming up from scratch with new things all the time. That usually helps. When you productize things as well, what happens is now you can really be effective with scoping your projects, because one of the things that bites us in the butt is when we think we can predict the future, but we don't know what we're offering. We don't know what the client wants. And then you end up having this Frankenstein project that goes on way too long and you end up paying, you know, your developers and then you get paid nothing or very little. You just basically get paid for your, you know, for the tools you used. You don't actually make any money on the project. You don't get paid a salary, right? And so you want to create products and services that you can easily deploy. You know how much they will cost. You know how many hours of development time, or even how many, you know, basically just know the full scope so that when you're quoting them, you're being very, very realistic about your time, about your resources, and how much you want to make, because you need to also make money. Right? You can't just come out even. You actually need to have money to invest in, you know, new software, new tools, pay your bills, go on vacation once in a while. And I see some people work, they just work for the hours, like they work for the hours like they're some sort of an employee. And I'm like, yeah, who's paying your benefits? Who's paying your taxes? Right? Who's taking care of that overhead for you? Who's taking care of paying for your marketing? Right? All those things you got to take into consideration. You think like who's in on top of it? The software memberships, everything, right? You got to consider that. I think a lot of us get into business after we've been working for an organization and you just think of your salary there, but you don't think about the fact that you now have to pay for your own space. You're now using electricity all day, not just the hour that you're back home in the evening. All those things add up, right? So those are just a few tips I had. So the other thing is that you have to always be doing outreach. This is something that I'll talk about tomorrow, but you can't, and this happens. You get into your work, you get into your project, and then you stop, you raise your head when you're done and you're like, oh shit, where's my next project coming from, right? That's not a good place to be, because it leaves you with this weird cycle of feast, famine, and also anxiety. How do you get rid of that, right? Anyways, I hope you have a fabulous day. I hope this was helpful to you. If it was, let me know. And if you're looking to learn more about interactive stories, I have an awesome recorded on-demand webinar that is at elearningsecrets.com. Check it out. Register there. You can watch it today and apply those strategies today. All right. Take care, friends. Bye.